Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Hey, my name's Az. I'm the pastor here with Beck, who you saw before, and you are welcome here. You're welcome. Hey, I hope you find Jesus here. I hope you find that Jesus is what you're looking for in 2026, like never ever before. Start of a new year. Who is excited and expected for 2026? Right, here we are. We're stepping into 2026. But, you know, with this new year comes new challenges, new vision. And for some of you, you've started going, oh my gosh, I'm already behind. Anyone? No, oh, you're all on top of it too. I genuinely feel a little bit like I'm already behind. I'm 4 days in. I'm like, I need to catch up on 2026. This year, this week, not this year, I'm going to do it this year, but this week, I'm really going to get my calendar sorted completely every week of the year because it's going to be a massive, massive year for this church. I think we got a photo back there of our future building. Show the picture if you can. There it is. That's, we got a building to fit out. Literally, the timer is now on. I was talking to the guys in there, and they're saying, yeah, we'll probably be out by December 31. So that's their goal anyway. So I'm like, okay, so I've got less than a year. I've got less than a year, some exciting things to think about and to do this year. You know, my brain's full of things that need to get done for this year. And, you know, as I've entered this whole start of the year, I kind of had a moment where I was like, God, how am I going to get it all done? How is it going to happen? And I just really felt like God just said to me, and to tell you too, you have everything you need. You have everything you need for this year. It's already here. You have everything you need. And it all connects to the Word of God. We're going to talk about just believing the truth of the Word of God in regards to you have everything you need. You know, you might be going, well, Az, that's great for you, but I don't have the resources. I need more faith, more time, more money, more confidence. And maybe that's true in some sense. Like you might be going, yeah, I will need more. But for right now, in this moment, you have everything you need to do what God's called you to. And for some of you, you are going, but I don't know how it works. Well, here's the thing. When it comes to having faith in God, you don't actually need to have everything figured out. You need to just start getting moving. And I'm going to tell you now, God will provide your every need this year. The thing about God, we're going to be talking about this over the next 4 weeks. The thing with God, He doesn't give you an end product to begin with. All He gives you is a seed. Some of us want fully done things. If I have everything sorted, then I'll do it. The last message of the year I did was the Christmas carols, and I talked about get moving and God will meet you on the moving. Remember the story of the Christmas shirts? Yeah. It was after time, but you know, God calls us to get moving and then He meets us on the way. He gives us a seed. I'll say it again. If you've ended here and you don't believe me, you have everything you need for 2026 right now. Because God has already placed a seed in your hands. A seed. In fact, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the power and the principle of the seed, how God works. Because it's like, if you've been in this church for any amount of time, I'll say it all the time, God is not a genie. He doesn't give you three wishes. He's a gardener and He puts seed in your hand. And He goes, now what are you going to do with it? And sometimes we think, oh no, but I want this and I want that and I can't. God's like, no, I'll give you seed and we'll see how you go with that. He set everything in place. It's a kingdom principle, a biblical principle. He's a gardener. In fact, in Genesis, we see Him garden to begin everything. He goes and creates the Garden of Eden. And in Genesis 1, 11 to 12, it says this. It says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. It's actually God's established divine plan and design for how He does everything. In every aspect of your life, things that grow start with a seed. He put plants in place in a garden and He said, inside the fruit of that plant is seed that will multiply this same tree. When He created the earth, He didn't say trees for the whole globe. He went trees for the Garden of Eden and from it, seed. And what we experience today is that multiplication everywhere we look. It started in the garden with seed. Everything is reproduced through seed. Nothing actually appears fully grown. You don't see a couple go, we're going to have a child. And then the next week, there's a teenager sitting next to them. Poof. You avoided the baby years. And then you're like, why do you give your teenage years? He mustn't like you. Anyway, but everything starts. The teenagers went, come on. Not you guys, all right? But he multiplies things through seed. I want to talk about seed over the next few weeks. In a seed, and I was going to hold up a seed here and show you a seed, but I thought, you'll never see it anyway. Because it's so small. I'll be like, hey, look at the seed. You're like, huh? What? But the seed, it looks so insignificant, doesn't it? You're like, if you held up a seed, you'd be like, yeah, great, as it's a seed. But in that seed is a future harvest. In that seed is potential, future provision. In that seed is multiplication. But what I do with that seed is up to me. Will I plant it? Will I use it? Will I nurture it? Will I allow God to grow it? Or will I just keep the seed and not do anything with it? Now, the stuff we're going to be talking over the next few weeks might seem simple, but I actually believe if you get this, it's going to change the way you do 2026. Seeds appear very differently to different people. God gives us seed. He doesn't give us the final product. A seed might just be an idea that's been rolling around your head. What are you going to do with it? A seed might be a whole range of things which we'll go through. I want you to understand if it's a thought, an idea, something creative, something that's like, wow, that would be really cool. Understand that God gave you that seed. He's the creator of creative things. And he allows, he gives seed to every person. Every person in this room for 2026, God has given you a seed. No one misses out on seed. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. We know that Jehovah Jireh, we sang about Jehovah Jireh in one of the songs, he's our provider. God provides bread. In fact, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it says he provides seed to the sower and bread to those who need bread. Now here's the thing. In this year, God will provide you every need. When you put your trust in God, he will provide you every need. It will just blow your mind. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Jesus teaches about that. He's like, I provide everything. For those who trust me, I'll provide your every need. I'll give you bread. But there's two people. There are people that just want bread, but then there are also sowers, those who want seed. And I'm going to tell you now, we are a church that want to be sowers, not just bread eaters. Now, this is what I mean by that. Let's have a look at this when it comes to bread. You know, we get bread, we eat the bread is gone. Give seed to a sower, you'll get a harvest, a crop that will produce so much grain to create so much bread, you'll be eating bread, but everyone else will eat bread around you as well. I don't know about you, I want seed. Because I want to be a blessing everywhere we go. We want to reach the Redlands for Christ. And as a church, we are sowers. We are people that use the seed that we have. Sowers are people that go, I'm going to work the ground and bring about multiplication. Bread eaters say, just give me my need for today. Sowers are visionaries. Bread eaters are like, I just need today. And I want today, give me my bread. The great thing about God is he gives both. But I would challenge us this year to be someone who asks, God, give me seed. Would you give me some seed? You know, I love people that use the seed that God has given them. Those that take the little thing that they have, the minute, minuscule thing and go, I know it's not much, but I'm going to nurture that seed, water that seed, use that seed, grow that seed. If you know me, I am a sucker for supporting small business. If I see someone start a business, I'm like, take my money. I want to help you because that's someone who had an idea, just an idea, so minute and went, I'm going to do something with that idea and I'm going to trust God and it's going to grow and be blessed and multiply. Now, I've told my story 15 years ago, I started my own business when I lost everything. I lost all my money, lost everything before I met Beck, the same year I met Beck. I just lost it all. And I tried to find work to make myself get some bread. I got to get some bread. So I got to get a job. I got to get some bread. And God's like, I'm not giving you a job. I couldn't get a job for 6 months. At one stage, I called my dad, desperate. Dad, I need money. And he's like, we'll pray about it. I'm like, I don't need your prayer. I need bread. Give me your money. But in that time, I sought after the things of God. And I believe that God deliberately stopped me from getting work in that season because he forced me to go, what seed do you have in your hand? And he dropped an idea into my spirit. And I had no idea what to do with the seed, but I started to water it. I started to build something. I was like, I don't know. And with that seed, with that action of the seed, I started calling schools all over Australia. It was in that period of time I actually met Beck because I was like, oh, she works with youth in Sydney. Maybe she can help me get into some schools. That's why we met. So here's the thing. That year I called 1,000-odd schools. Would you like to water this seed? I've got an idea. No. 998 schools, no. And then two schools went, We'll take that seed, we'll water it. Nanango State High, Kingaroy State High. I mean, they didn't know how weird the seed was. They didn't know what they were getting, but they were like, yeah, we'll give it a go. But over 15 years, God has multiplied and multiplied, not because I sat there and said, God, do everything. It's because I nurtured the seed. Problem with people and seed, people want bread. I want bread. I want seed. Why? Because seed looks really useless. Bread is convenient. I want a loaf of bread. Seed is small. Bread's a bit bigger. You know, I reckon a lot of people don't even want to use the seed God's put in their hand because why? They compare their seed with someone else's tree. I like you girls. You could teach some people. Take some seed from these girls. Spread that seed, girls. Yeah, I like it. I like it. We don't like the small beginnings. Oh, but they've got a tree. All I've got is the seed. And God's like, yeah. But look at 20 years ago what they had. They had a seed. Don't compare your seed with someone else's tree. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Let's have a look at this scripture real quick. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work complete. What does the Lord rejoice in? It beginning. Because he knows once it's begun, he can grow it. Once you start moving, he can touch it. But he's rejoicing in you starting in 2026. Don't be someone that's like, oh, I don't know. Start. He rejoices in the beginnings. Use the seed. Use the seed. When you get started, you don't have all the answers. You don't have all the clarity. You don't have all the provision. All you got is seed. But when God touches the seed, he multiplies. It's unstoppable. Man, I'm excited about this building. Put that building picture up again. So look at that ugly seed. Some of you are like, let's bury it. Let's make it a seed. You know, here's the thing. This is the harvest of a seed planted 5 years ago. 5 years ago when Beck and I got here, there was no building. There was no building fund. There was zero money. But God placed an idea in the hearts of Beck and I, a seed of idea. This church needs a home. So instead of comparing ourselves to every other church that has a building, well, what do we have? And after our first year, we raised a little bit of money, but it was not enough to buy a building. People would have looked at it and gone, it's pathetic. It's useless like that little seed. God waters it. And over 4 years, almost 5 years, God watered it. And last year, God went, I'm watering it, blessed it, and bang, we've got our building. And he goes, you know what? Everyone, you know what? Pastors go, how'd you do it? We started, and God rejoices in the starting. But now we have a seed again.
We've got some fruit multiplying seed. And God's like now, he's like, okay, now you're going to do something you've never done before. I'm going to grow something. Can I just say this right now? I told Beck I'm going to say this. This is a precursor for this year. If you don't like hearing about money in church, this church is not for you this year. Why do I say that? Because there are people that pioneer and there are people that eat bread. This is a sowing church, okay? And here's the thing. I can't just be like, well, I just hope that God just appears with money, which is great. He's like, sow something. And that's the reality. I'm telling people, keep, how are we going to do it? I don't know. But we'll use the seed that God's given us. We have so far. I do know I have to raise at least $1.5 million this year to fit that thing out. Some of you just went, what church is closest to here? You're Googling it right now. Oh, they're Pentecostal, could be similar. The guy looks nice. You know, when we started this legacy campaign for a building, it was quite interesting because that very first year we used the quote a lot. And it says this, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. You've got to start. What has God placed in your hand? Here's the thing about seed. A lot of us want bread. Sharing with the 8 a.m., I used to have this cousin that used to, every family event, she'd rock up, she'd have a little bag of seed she'd eat, a little seed mix. Some of you have got them in your handbag right now. Nibbling on seeds. I'm like, you have no idea what you're eating right now. The potential in those seeds. Beck said to me, pumpkin seeds are nice. I said, yeah, pumpkins are better. They feed more people. If you're a seed eater, you're living an opulent life. You've got some in your bag, don't you? Yeah. You can keep eating your seeds. Here's the thing of those that sow seed. When it comes to someone who uses just seed in their hands, there's some things that are different to those that eat bread. Bread is instant. I just want it now. God calls us to be sowers of seed, and he says, you be patient. You wait. It requires faith because you can't see what's happening underground. Don't lose your faith by starting to dig up the seed. Well, I planted that seed, nothing happened. God's doing nothing, so I'm going to go dig up the seed and still eat the seed. You have to wait. You got to be patient. You got to have faith. And this year, I want you to know that if you are someone who is diligent with the seed that God has given you, he will bring multiplication in your life. Every person in this room has seed in their hands. You know, maybe you came into this year and you're like, I don't have hopes and dreams because of lack. I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this skill, I don't have this gift, I don't have this talent, I don't have what it takes, I don't have enough faith, I don't have resources. No, you don't have lack, you just haven't seen what seed you have. You haven't recognized what God has given you for 2026 and you haven't identified it and said, okay, God, I'll take it, I'll use this small idea. It's been rolling around in my head and I'll actually action it. Maybe you've got this burden for people. You just love people. You're like, I don't know how to help people. Join Beacon Care. Nicole, and go and start doing something with the seed. It might start small. You don't know what God's going to do in your life if you start small. Maybe you've got a gift. It's laying dormant. It's like a seed. Just so you know, seed can lay dormant for a very long time. I was reading about the world's longest dormant seed. They reckon it was 1,000 years in the ground before it came to life. Don't take 1,000 years. Like, use it. Water it. Maybe you got a gift this year. You're like, man, I've been sitting here for a very long time. I got to use my gifts of like music or singing. Or I had a lady come up to me, showing me. She wrote a song in the last service, and she goes, "I want to read a song about the seed that I just wrote this." And she was singing it to me, and I'm like, "That's cool. I can't even sing that well. But you just wrote a song, like in what, 5 minutes? Amazing. I love seeing Midi up here worship leading. I love you using your gifts." But this year, 2026, is the year to use the seed that God has given you. It might be barista in the cafe. It might be up in kids. You might be amazing with kids and youth. And but the thing is, God doesn't just give you the final product. He goes, I'll give you the seed. The principle of the seed is always going to be around. In fact, Scripture talks about how God works through seed and harvest. Genesis 8:22, it says this, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will never cease. Whatever you sow, you reap. God can't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Why do they have all that? Because they've been sowing. But I want the tree. No, use the seed. God won't plant the seed for you. God won't nurture the seed for you. When he touches it, blessing is unbelievable. The multiplication is incredible. Do something with the seed. Do something with it. Trust him. Maybe you're like, well, I've tried and nothing happens. Go again. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Too many people quit just before it's about to break open and do some amazing things. Oh, well, I want the tree. And he's like, oh, if you knew how close you were to the surface. If you just could see what's happening in the hidden. Just trust me. Stay planted. When God touches the seed, it's incredible. Seed requires faith, obedience, patience, stewardship. In Genesis 26, says this is an incredible story. You can read it in your own time. Genesis 26, 12, it says this, Isaac planted crops in the land and in the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Now, if you go read that story, what's really interesting is he planted in a drought season. Every other farmer had barren land. God provides the seed to the sower. Isaac was obedient in a time where everyone said it's not possible, and God multiplied it 100-fold because his hand was upon it. Beacon, that's a word for you this year. Everyone else says you can't do it, it's not possible. Can I tell you, this building project is huge. It's a monster. But you know what? Everyone else says it can't be done. We're sowers, and God's going to water it. And we're going to see the Redlands One for Christ. I'm wearing this shirt today, Australia for Christ, because this is how I'm starting my year. We had a prophetic word last year from Terry Hourigan. She goes, this church is going to be a church of sowing and reaping, and we won't be able to keep up with the reaping while we're sowing. When it's in God's hand, he can bring multiplication. So wrap up this morning. When you go away, I want you to think about your language. We're going to talk about different seeds and outcomes of the seed over the next 3 weeks. Three major things that we all look for in a new year. And how God, through his word, teaches us how to see a great harvest in those areas. If we're obedient. But a huge part of seed growing is actually our language. If you say, I don't have enough, you won't. It's prophetic. In the tongue is the power of life and death. You say, oh, it's impossible. I have no hope. Well, you just prophesied that to your 2026. Instead of saying, I don't have enough, I want you to declare it. God has given me a seed. And that is enough for the plan to come to pass. You have enough. Have some faith. He'll give you enough provision to obey him. Trust God with your future this year. He's given you a seed. As you go away, I want you to ask God, God, what is the seed that you've given me that I've let lay dormant? I haven't watered it. I haven't used it. I've been waiting for the tree to appear. And God's like, no, I'll just give you a seed. So I'm giving you a seed. The scripture says, he who is faithful in a little can be faithful in much. In other words, those who use the seed, he will multiply it and give you more. And when you get more, like Beck said, even with our tithes, I mean, we talk about this. I said, we're talking about money this year, but this has been our journey. We were broke when we got married. But you know what we did? We put God first. We sowed our seed every week, even when it hurt. Having a crying wife's not fun. But if I trust in the word of God that he is my provider and he is a gardener that multiplies seed, I'm always putting seed in the ground. He cannot bring to life something that's not in the ground. I want to be blessed. What's in the ground? I throw as much in the ground as I can. Why? Because God just does what God does. He's a gardener. Stop waiting for more. Start sowing what you have. All God calls you to do in 2026 is not to compare yourself. Do not compare your seed with another person's tree. Just nurture the seed that he's given you. In 2026, none of you sitting in this room are starting this year empty-handed. You are starting with a seed from God himself. And if God gave you the seed, because he provides seed to the sower, he fully intends to give you the harvest. You have everything you need. Let's pray. God, some of you, this is like hitting your heart right now. And it's a seed going into your heart. You'll either believe it or not. Allow it to hit your heart. Allow it to take root, take flourish in your heart, grow in your heart, and just believe it wholeheartedly. 2026, I believe that, God. You've given me the seed. If you're believing for God to show you the seed, lift your hands towards heaven because you're like, I don't know what seed I have. He's going to reveal it. He'll reveal it. He'll give you creative ideas. He'll give you the most amazing things when he just shows you the little seed. Then you go, oh, now I know what to work with. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you show us how you work. We just have to be obedient in using the seed you've given us. God, I pray that we'll be a faithful church. I thank you that we are a church prepared to go and sow seed and not just eat bread. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.